Joshua chapter 6 and the battle of Jericho. I guess it's not much of a battle, but it is, for all intents and purposes, we'll just call it that. It's quite a blessing. It's like the battle of Armageddon. It's not quite a battle, but it is something to remember. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, again, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful grace. And Lord, we need Thee. We need Thee this morning that only You can give Your grace. Only You can give the power we need to overcome the enemy. Lord, we ask for Your grace. We ask for Your presence and power. We ask that You would make these things clear to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jericho, as we've looked before in our Wednesday evening sessions, we were looking at the kings of the land, and this happens to be just one of those kings. And we're given the particulars of the battle that is going on. And the battle plan, of course, we've looked at this before, and Jericho means his moons or his cycles. And I like to think that that is the king of cycles, the king of patterns, if you will, in our lives. And we all we're creatures of habit, amen?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
We're creatures of habit. We do the same sorts of things over and over. And anybody who knows that if you've ever tried to break a bad habit, how difficult that is. It's a difficult thing to do. Now, this particular king we've looked at before, again, is the king of cycles, king of patterns. In the matter of being a Christian, I just want to take a brief note here before we begin, as I guess the introductory. This is a lot like salvation, that a lot of people go through the motions. They go around the walls of Jericho. They walk around and around, and they tread on the outsides of the city wall. But I can tell you that the righteousness that God requires, it's like the walls of Jericho. You can't get over those walls. You can't beat that kind of a high regard. For the righteousness is that of God Himself. You need to be perfect to get into heaven. You say, well, who can do that? Certainly not me. Certainly not you. Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, says Psalms, that we can't come to God and say, this is what I want to do, and I think this should allow me into the walls. I think if they walked up to the walls of Jericho and knocked on the door and said, how about you let us in and let us kill you all? What kind of response do you think they would have got? Yeah, no, and they probably would have got a few arrows to boot. But anyway, Matthew says this, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. So unless you're as good as the Pharisees, actually better than the Pharisees, you don't stand a chance. Anybody here on that regard? No, Sam, you can go sit down. He was thinking about coming up. He was. Well, it's not a matter of trying. It's the power of God alone. You know, John 1:12 says, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. If you want to be saved, it can only come through Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we're ever going to get to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. But that was just the introduction. I just want to give you, turn to chapter verse 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Before you were saved. Christian, I want to speak, this is mostly to do with the Christian, child of God here this morning, as we've been battling the kings of the land, and this is one of the first ones that you're going to battle. And you say, Pastor, we've already gone through some of this. Yeah, but we certainly should go through some of the particulars of this battle, because I don't think I've got it yet, and I need to go over it too. Before I was saved, I didn't have much problem with the flesh giving me a lot of problem. Now, there was certain little things that I did that were inconvenient, but I was okay with it. The things that I did, I was okay with. I could get to sleep, if you will. I could lay my head on the pillow and say everything was fine. Maybe it gave me some problems, but the fallen mind and the fallen body sort of worked together. And after a while, the fallen mind, the fallen body, it'd pull itself in line with the fallen mind because, well, they're in league together. And this enemy was sort of without the walls. They were just walking wherever it would. And it wasn't till I got saved that I realized that there was a big enemy. That I realized that I started having problems with my flesh. I started having problems with my fallen mind. I started having problems. I didn't even know I had problems. And all of a sudden, all these things started creeping up and saying, what's going on? Suddenly, because of the presence of God, and when the presence of God arrives, you find out the enemy entrenches itself. It locates itself in one particular spot. It takes up arms and it stands behind a very big impenetrable wall and says, you can't come in. You ever had that problem with your flesh?
Yeah.
Or am I the only wicked soul?
No,
okay, good. Because I know that if you're anything like me, and I'm sure you are, of course not as bad as I am, but maybe, just a little bit less. You know that you've got problems with your mind and your body. They don't like to do the things that God wants you to do. Amen? Well, your body doesn't automatically say, you know, that's a great idea. Let's self-sacrifice here. Let's give. You know, your body doesn't want to do that. You know, when the collection time comes up, you know, the fallen mind goes, oh, don't put that in. We need that. And, you know, you want to put it in there.
Make change.
There you go. Now, I'm being cute there, but you understand. Romans says this. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. When I'm driving down the road and there is no speed sign, everything's good. Until I see the speed sign that says 50 clicks. And I look down and I'm going at least 80. And I'm thinking, all of a sudden my conscience starts to bother me. Now, why didn't it bother me before? Because I didn't know. And ignorance is bliss in that occasion. Until the police, of course, catch you. And say, you know, I didn't know, officer. Oh, it's too bad for you.
Now you do.
Give me a warning. Here's a warning. If you do that again, I'll give you another ticket. It's a good warning. I would never have known that Jericho was my enemy until Christ came in. Until the presence of God made itself known in my life. Until I crossed the river. And then I started realizing, this is bigger than I thought. You know, a lot of people don't want to get saved because they say, well, I can't live the Christian life. Well, you can't. I've never met a soul who could live the Christian life. There's only one person who could ever live the Christian life, and that was Christ. You can't live the Christian life. You say, well, should we stop trying? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you, in your own power, are not able to do the things like conquering Jericho. When you get across that river and you start looking around at them big old walls, you start saying, wait a minute, this is a lot bigger problem than I thought. I thought I wouldn't have as many problems. When I got saved, I thought I wouldn't have any problems with these things. And you realize that when you start, it's like digging at something. You dig at the tip of something, and you start digging. And you ever try to move a rock that's in the ground? Your shovel hits a rock, so you start trying to dig around it, and then you realize that it's a lot bigger than you had thought. Well, that's like trying to remove sin in your life, and you got some problems in your life. Maybe you got some old habits and problems that you know about, and you say, well, when I got saved, you know, God will take care of everything, and bang, you hit that rock. You say, well, I start digging around it. And you realize this is a lot tougher than I ever would have thought. Welcome to Jericho. Welcome to a place that it's a lot tougher than you imagine. You know, the Apostle Paul faced the exact same thing. He faced Jericho. Romans chapter 7. If you want to read Romans chapter 7, it's a beautiful chapter of Paul beating his head against the wall. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Romans chapter 7 verse 14 says this, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. The thing I want to do, I can't do. But what I hate, that I do." You ever find yourself doing the stuff that you know you shouldn't do? And you know it. You know you shouldn't do that, but you do it. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. I was having a conversation the other day, and I was talking about bitterness with somebody, and they said, you know, we were talking about it, and I think, well, you can't understand it. Why would anybody want to be bitter? Because it doesn't bring you any pleasure. You say, oh, yes, it does. But no, it doesn't. Not if you really look at it. It doesn't bring you any pleasure. It doesn't bring you any happiness. But boy, I tell you, you really got a taste for it, don't we? Oh, we really like to suck on that bitter stuff and get all warped and twisted. And you say, well, what good could it possibly bring? We know that up here. But we do it anyway. This is where I live, folks. I know an awful lot about this. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And when you start to realize, when you cross the river Jordan, the river of judgment, when you're standing before Jericho, one of the things you start realizing is, wow, I'm a wicked person. I didn't realize just how bad I was. Before you're saved, you think, man, I need to be saved. I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. After you get saved, it really starts to dawn on you just how much you needed to be saved. Because you realize, wow, I am a complete mess. But sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Paul says, dwelleth no good thing. Now, we'd like to argue with that one, wouldn't we? In my flesh dwelleth a little bit of a good thing. You know, we've all got the spark of human goodness. That went out long ago. And we'd like to argue, well, there's some good people and bad people. Listen, the closer you get to God, you realize that most of your motives that you have are not very good. They're self-centered motives. And you realize just what kind of a person you're dealing with. For to will is present with me. I want to do good. I don't know, there's too many people that they're sitting in church that go, you know, I really just don't want to do good. They think, well, I want to do good. I want to do that which is right. And most Christians, you talk to them, would you like to do right? Would you like to serve God? Well, yes, of course I would. The will is there. But the flesh is weak. Boy, I want to do the right thing. But it's hard to do the right thing. No, it's impossible to do the right thing. I'll give you an example. How many have ever tried a diet? Do I need to go any further than that? To will is present, but to do, I don't know. That Twinkie looks awful good. Or chocolate. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that doeth, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. Welcome to the law. This new law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I'd like to conquer the land. I'd like to take Jericho, but I got this big old problem. It's called the walls of Jericho. Yeah, they're your walls. That's an enemy. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Good question. How am I going to beat Jericho? How am I ever going to conquer these walls? How can this be? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You know, I can liken Jericho into some of the bad habits we got. You know, our sinful character is unredeemable. God doesn't want to redeem your sinful character. Mm-hmm. Don't get the wrong idea. God doesn't want to fix you up. God doesn't want to fix up your bad habits to use them for His glory. He wants to kill them. Put Jericho to the sword. It's got to die. But wait a minute. I like these things. I'm sure in Jericho there were a lot of vile and wicked, wicked people that deserved to die. There were a lot of people in Jericho that put their own children on the flames and killed their own children. There were a lot of people in Jericho who were nasty murderers, cutthroats, evil people. And I'm sure when the people of Israel crossed that river, a lot of people went into Jericho. Everybody in the surrounding area went in. And that's a lot of evil people. But can I also say that there were a lot of nice people in Jericho? Come on, in every crowd there's going to be some nice people. And in Jericho there probably was some very industrious people, hardworking people, people who were probably honest, probably were very pious in what they did. They weren't necessarily evil axe murderers. Don't get the wrong idea. This city wasn't just inhabited by a bunch of wretched people. It was had some nice people in it. You say, well, how can God put them all to death? You got some bad habits in your life, and when you get saved, you got no trouble saying some of the things you do are bad. Amen? Right. You got no trouble going, well, this is a stinker. I got to get rid of this one. This is bad. And everybody standing around would go, oh yeah, that's a bad one. We need to get rid of that. But what about some of the not so bad things? Well, why should we get rid of these ones? I mean, let's get rid of the really bad ones, but let's, you know, some of the problems there, they're not so bad. There's some things that we see as pretty nasty. What harm can come by maintaining some of those old habits? Old habit of beer with the boys. I mean, come on, I can be a good witness to the boys, you know, while I'm out with them. That's an old habit. Now, that's an old habit that can lead you to a lot of other old habits. I used to think, well, now, you'll have to use some imagination here, okay? Can you use a little imagination? One day I had hair. You saw a picture once, and everybody laughs at that picture. They think it's really funny. Well, I used to have hair like down to here, and a big blonde streak through my hair. Yeah, I know. I said not that much of imagination now. And you had to, you know, turn the collar. Oh, there goes your microphone. I turned my collar up, and I was so cool. Yeah, right. That was sad. I have pictures, but I hide them. Actually, I've got one picture I think I've got left, but I've hidden that. I don't even know where that is, and I hope it never surfaces. Yeah, my parents have pictures. My boys go into the room and say, who's that little girl with Mom, with Grammy and Aunt Kim? Well, that was me. Oh. Smart aleck kid. Guy needed a haircut. Anyway. I was in a band. Oh, yeah. I was in a band, man, and I played the bass guitar. Well, yeah, you should have heard the band. It was bad. It's, woo! We had delusions of grandeur, may I add. It took us like 2 years to figure out that we needed to tune our instruments to each other. Okay, we figured tuning instruments was good, but they needed to be tuned to one another. Yeah. When we found that out, man, we got a lot better. So yeah, exactly. Wow, you guys stunk. Well, When I got saved, I said, you know, all that music I used to listen to, some of it's pretty bad and I need to get rid of it. But I can still hang around with the guys. I can still go back to the band practice. And I'd go home and I'd want to be with the guys, and I'd go over to the where they were playing the music, and they'd say, why don't you come and join us? And I'd say, well, I can't sing that music anymore. You don't have to sing, just play. I should have just stuck with singing, because I really stunk at that, and I really stunk at the playing. But they wanted to include me. I thought, you know, I want to witness to these guys. One bad habit, one bad thing led to another. And, you know, before I knew it, I was back doing the thing, and it hit me. What are you doing here? You're not a good testimony to these guys. You're not helping them any. I put it down. I said, guys, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. Why? I said, I'm a Christian. I can't sing what I'm supposed to be singing, and I can't play what you want me to play. I can't be involved in this. I'd like to hang around with you guys, but I know, and you know what? It took me a while. I had to really break that habit of being with them. They were nice guys. I love them like my brothers. But you know, I had to disassociate myself with them for a while, because it was a bad habit that led me to other bad habits. There are things in your life that maybe you don't see as so bad from Jericho, but you need to break these habits, these wrong cycles. Fleshly habits. Now, I'm not saying your old friends, you don't talk to them anymore or anything like this. You be a witness. Before long, if you keep being a consistent witness and keep telling them, no, I'm not going here, no, I'm not going here, no, I'm not going here, but you invite them over to your place and you pray and you talk to them, you know, before long, they'll start saying goodbye to you. It won't take long. And you're not trying to do that. You're trying to win them to Christ, but they'll get tired of that whole winning them to Christ thing after a while, let me tell you. Remember, my friends were telling me, he told me, he said, look, he said, stop putting tracks on my windshield. Okay? I said, no problem. So I started shoving them under his door. Yeah, I know. It wasn't real wise. I was zealous, though. Fleshly habits may appear to be innocent. The cycles of godliness and cycles of fleshliness cannot coexist. Jericho can't exist in the same plane as the land of possession. It's not going to work. We try to make it work, but it can't work. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Here's the promise of God. Victory. It can only come through Him, and it can't come through our efforts. You know what we usually do? I really got to overcome these problems in my life. So what I do is I run and I throw myself against the wall of Jericho. Bang. Well, that's going to work. And I try harder. And you know what I do? I strengthen my flesh. I get my flesh strong enough that I can overcome the flesh. Whoops. I just strengthened the thing I wanted to weaken. You know, it's a real problem when you get to be saved and you start looking at the things in your life and you start trying to figure out how to live the Christian life. And I see this a lot. I see it in my life. How do I go about trying to gain victory against the flesh? I strengthen the flesh. I try to work harder at it. I try to make myself more disciplined at it. I try to, you know, try to manipulate myself into doing what I need to do. I need to realize that the victory comes because God's already promised the victory. It's not because of my efforts or my greatness. Not to strengthening the walls of Jericho. To this impossible situation, God has promised victory. And I can tell you right now that maybe you're facing some impossible situation in your lives that you're saying, this is just out of the realm of possibility. You don't understand what kind of grip these things have on me. Oh, the reason I fail is because I don't seem to understand that God's already promised the victory. It's a victory. But this victory is by very unusual means, and I don't like the unusual means. I like the usual means. Try harder. That's the usual means I employ. God says it's not about trying harder. It's not about the pop psychologies and the self-help books and the self-esteem methodologies that you can go to the library and get. Like a man walked into the library and said, could you just point me to the self-help section? The librarian said, no, that would defeat the purpose. Help yourself. Self-help. You think, well, I need to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Folks, God's ways are not our ways. You have to rely upon His power and His methodologies. It's a difficult thing because it doesn't leave any room for our strength or our boasting. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall ye do 6 days. Now, this is not a very intelligent battle plan. Can I tell you, this is just not going to work. This is not going to work outside of God. So you try to use God's methods without God, you're going to look like a fool. You're going to be worse than useless. You're going to be ridiculous. Can you imagine walking around the outside of the walls for 6 days and then going, ah! Everybody in the city going, wow. You guys are stupider than I thought. You know what's really dumb? Lost people trying to employ turn the other cheek. No, that ain't going to work for you. Yes, but it's no. Don't try to live by Christian principles if you're not a Christian, because it's just a real sad state. It's worse than walking around a wall and screaming at people. You're just going to look worse than dumb. And this is why God's methodology gets such a bad rap. Because there's no power of God in it. We try to do God's battle plan without God. The core of God's battle plan is, let me do it. Right? Let me be in charge. Let me handle this. Trust me. Submit yourselves to what I tell you to do. We don't like that idea. So what I want you to do is I want you to march around the city. I want you to do it once a day. 6 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times. And I want you to have the priests of God going before the ark of God, blowing on the trumpets, and you go around the city. Don't say anything. Just the last day, the very last day, on the 7th trip around, stop and go, boo. And the walls will come down. I think, that's just dumb. I guarantee you, the people here would have thought this was a stupid idea unless they had first crossed Jordan. Remember they saw something unusual at Jordan? Yeah. It's still in their head. Hey, wait a minute. God can cut off a river. God can split the Red Sea. God can split the Jordan. I think He can handle a city. I think we should do what God tells us to do. What do we got to lose? Nothing. A few days, we'll just wander around, take a good scope of the city, and the last day we'll scream. Can I tell you, what do you got to lose by trying it God's way? Haven't you tried it your way long enough? Aren't you tired of walking around the wall screaming boo and nothing happens? Aren't you tired of walking up to Jericho and beating your head against the wall and hoping it comes down? Aren't you tired of doing that stuff? I know I am. But I usually don't get enough of it. I go back for more. Amen. I'll tell you exactly where I'm going to be Monday morning. I'm going to be right back beating my head against Jericho. If I would... Headaches. If I would just get this. Well, here's the battle plan. Walk around the city. I don't like this idea. This is the first one that I really don't like. How many of us refuse to walk around about our problems and to see things how God sees them? How many times do we refuse to deal with our problems because we won't even look at it? How many times do we refuse to see it from God's perspective? There's nothing like a trip in the Scriptures to get you to see things from God's perspective. Amen? Hey, you got a problem? You want to see it from God's perspective? Read about it in the Bible, and that's what God has to say about it. You start realizing, wait, first thing to do is isolate it. You know what your problems are, don't you? Come on. And if you don't, I'd be happy to tell you. That's right. It's much easier figuring out your problems than it is mine. We often know what the problem may be in our lives is a sinful habit or some stronghold of the enemy. And we refuse to go about in a concentrated effort to deal with it. We refuse to look at it. And it makes us uncomfortable to look at it. Remember the woman at the well? When Jesus put his finger on her sin? What did she do? Let's change the subject. What do we usually do? Let's change the subject. Let's deal with something a little easier. Like the sins of those other heathen. Like somebody else's problem. And you know what I find? The people who got the problem with sin usually are the ones pointing the finger. Most critical. So now you know why you've got the pastor you do. Amen? Yeah, you'll be careful. When we do simply, we'd rather simply dash ourselves against the bulwarks of Jericho. We get frustrated and we give up. We walk away. You know, Jericho, if you study Jericho, some of the archaeological finds that they found around Jericho, and by the way, in the back of your bulletin, I know you can't see it very well, but that's all that's left of the walls of Jericho. It's kind of interesting. There's some pictures there of Jericho, and that's all they got left. They had to dig down to find the bricks of Jericho and the walls. Kind of interesting. I know it's kind of faded there because I wanted you to write your sermon notes on it. Inside that city, there was a spring. They didn't need water from an outside source. They had a spring big enough to supply the whole city. Everybody could have water anytime they wanted. So behind the walls, you couldn't come out and cut off their water supply because they had lots. Self-sufficient. And you know what else they had? They had enough foodstuffs in Jericho to feed all the city for years to come. They could withhold, I think it was a 3-year siege with not a blip, not a problem. They had enough grain. You can't maintain a siege outside a city wall and they're fed, you're not. Where are you going to find food? You got to stay there for 3 years. Some of the problems is the people inside don't starve out. It's the people outside that starve out. You say, well, we can bring it in. Well, I guess you're going to have to weaken your force to go out and get it. That's one of the problems with siege warfare. If you want to, oh, we're going to starve them out. If they're well supplied, you aren't going to starve them out. They can wait. You're not going to starve out your flesh. You're not going to beat your flesh by saying, well, cut it off. You know, it's a good idea to cut off all supply to it. Well, that's not the only way you're going to win. It's a good start, but don't you think your flesh has an awful lot of resources to draw from? Aren't you going to be just as nasty and sinful as you always was? Even if you cut off all supply? That's a good idea. Now, I'm not sure. Again, if you've got a problem with sin, stay away from it. Stay away from the temptation. You've got problems with donuts, don't hang around Tim Hortons. We need to separate ourselves clearly from the enemy. We need to look at it. The key to the city. This is a key city. If you don't beat this one, You know what you're going to be doing? It's called a rear guard action. Because you're going to be out battling this other city, and guess who's going to come up behind you? So you're going to have to turn around, you're going to battle these guys again, and battle these guys, and you're not going to make much ground in the land of possession, are you? Because this old problem will keep popping up and will keep frustrating you and will make you impotent. You can't go and conquer the rest because this one's still there. And you don't know when they're going to come out over the wall and come get you. Usually at night. Usually when you're least expecting it. Usually when you're tired and you've just battled another battle. And maybe you've had a victory and things are going well. And guess who shows up? Jericho. Oh, I wish I would have taken care of these guys. And then you fight them and you win. Yay! But they go back inside the walls. You might beat little parties of them, but you didn't beat Jericho. You know, I can speak with a lot of authority on this. It's called entrenched sins. I wonder how many of us sitting here today could identify some of the problems that you've got. And I'm not just talking about maybe you've got a lot of Jerichos. I don't know. But maybe there's a particular sin in your life or particular problems that you have that you can put your finger on and you know what it is. Can I tell you the first battle plan? First of the battle plan? Walk around it. Look at it. Quit kidding yourself. That's what it is. There it is. We're creatures of habit. It's ingrained in us. Can you name one thing, maybe, that you're struggling with? What about complaining? Pastor, come on. Move along. What about a bitter mouth, a hard countenance, a covetous heart, a lustful mind, an arrogant attitude, rebellion, pride, hate, bitterness, you name it. I don't know what it is. Maybe you got some problem. Or all. Something that keeps bugging you. And we give a lot of lip service to the battle, but we won't submit to the Lord's battle plan. You know what we need to do is walk around it for 6 days. It means a pattern of looking at it. We need to, when you look at it, you know what the Israelites did when they walked around the city of Jericho? They walked around it and they had 6 long days to think about it. They walked around it and thought, if we don't conquer this baby, we are in a lot of trouble. This is massive. If every other city is like this, we are in a lot of trouble. Can get discouraging at times, can't it? When you look and say, man, this is big. We need to take care of this thing. You know what we need to do? We need to look at it and say, hey, where's this thing going to take me if I don't take care of it? It's going to get me. This is big. And that's exactly what God wants you to do. I want you to realize just how massive this thing is. And he wants you to understand, you're not going to conquer it without me. That's where we need to be. It's going to take a miracle to get this place taken care of. Because I tried, and I can't do it. I've looked at this baby for 6 days, and there's just no way it's coming down without God. I think if we get a clear idea, if we just get this into our head, I don't care what it is, you're not going to conquer it without God. So quit trying to conquer it without God. Quit trying to conquer the city of Jericho without God being there. You're going to look dumb. First thing you need to do, God is going to provide the power for victory. Your job is just to walk. Get walking. Just walk around the city and look at it. That's your job. Here's the next thing, is replace it. A sinful cycle needs to be replaced by a godly cycle. And it's the city of patterns. A lot of people who have trouble with smoking, and they give up smoking, you know, is it like a habit? And what happens is they eat. They eat a lot. You know why? Because they're trying to replace that with something else. That's not a good idea, by the way. I never had problems with smoking. It's the other one. Matthew says this, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from which I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then he goeth, he taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." You got a problem? I'm just going to stop doing it. Well, if you... I allude to this as music because I used to be really addicted to the wrong kind of music. And I listened to the wrong type of music, and it was addictive, and it was a habit in my life. Anytime I come into the room, I had to have the music on. Anytime I had to go somewhere, I had to put the headphones on. Anytime I had to do this, I needed that music. And it was wrong philosophies, it was the wrong beat, it was just wrong no matter how you cut it. And even now, if I give you, you can give me a few lyrics of things, I can probably tell you what it was all about. But of course, I wasn't listening for the lyrics, Brother Dave. Yes, I was just listening to the music. This package deal. But you know, it was not good enough for me to say, I'm not going to listen to that music anymore. I needed to replace it with good things. And you know, there are things I replaced it with, I enjoy more. I enjoy more than what I used to listen to that stuff. Putting off the old man without putting on the new man is a disaster. If you want to break the cycle of complaining, you have to institute the cycle of giving thanks. If every time you want to complain about something, say, every time I'm going to complain about something, I'm going to give thanks. If you want to get rid of this cycle of bitterness, then you better institute the cycle of sweetness. But again, I warn you, do not do this with just an empty activity. Walking around the walls of Jericho without God is worse than stupid. It's dangerous. Because they're going to get the idea when you go, nothing happens. They're going to go, they're stupid. Yep, let's go out and get them. And you know, every one of those Israelites would have ran and jumped in the river if it wasn't for God. Don't try to spook the enemy with your big shout. Don't whoop yourself up. But I do say replace. Replace the wrong cycle with the good cycle. And here's the thing, go armed. You know who went? Take your armed men out. They weren't there to fight. They were the cleanup crew. They were to fight after the walls come down. They were the victory crew. Your job is not to fight this one. Your job is to walk around, go armed though, and you better take the Ark of God with you, with all the things that are in the Ark of God, and you better have the trumpets playing, and you better have the priests of God going out ahead. That's just a little clue in what we're going to deal with. If you want to deal with some of those things in your life, again, you better go armed. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That is going armed. But pastor, I'm reading the word of God. You know, it's sometimes I just don't get much out of it. Do it anyway. Go armed. You don't take it, you won't be armed. You say, well, it's not going to do me much good. You told me it was the power of God. You told me that God was the one who's going to bring down the walls of Jericho. Amen, but you've got to do your part. You've got to walk around the city. You've got to identify it. You've got to look at it. And you've got to go armed. Take your Bible with you. Take it up here. Take it in here. Take it, read it, look at it. You say, well, I'm not getting much out of it. Read it again. You'll be surprised at what situation you'll need that. And when you'll need the Word of God is when God gives you the victory. Then you can go in and start sticking stuff. But the victory will come.
if you do it His way.
I like that little song, in times like these we need an anchor, in times like these we need the Bible. Be very sure your anchor grips the solid rock. What you need is you need to go armed. You need the ark's presence. You know what was in the, remember again, what was in the ark?
The manna.
The manna?
Aaron's rod, they budded.
Mm-hmm.
Ten Commandments.
If I don't miss my guess, I think some of the writings were in there too. Ark of the Testimony. It's a good place to keep stuff. Nobody was going to go messing with it. Mm-hmm. Don't stick your hand in the box. You might not get it back. Looking in the, even just having it in your house, Obed Edom. That's a good sermon, by the way. If you ever want to look up the word, the man's name, Obed Edom, and the Ark of God rested in his house. I think it was for 3 months. That's a good sermon in that. The rod of Aaron was there, and that talks about resurrection power. The manna of God talks about the daily bread of God's provision. The written testimony, the words of God, the covenant of promise, His covenant, and sitting right on top of the Ark of the Covenant was what?
The mercy seat.
Don't you need that? Don't you need that? If you're going to defeat Jericho, you need the mercy seat. All of those things distinguish us from anybody else. All of those things identify us with God and His presence. We go with God, not in our own ways, not in our own strength. We need these things present with us if we're going to defeat the enemy. Now, I'm just going to leave it there because I want you to catch that one idea. We'll look at this, Lord willing, tonight, the rest of this. But the whole idea wasn't that they were going to win because they were smart in their battle plan.
Right.
It was a dumb battle plan without God. Mm. It's a really dumb battle plan without God. But with God, I don't care if God said, stand on your head and spit nickels. That would have been a good battle plan. Mm. If God tells you to do something, that's the best battle plan you can possibly get. God's telling you, hey, this is not going to, you're thinking, this is not going to work. I can't conquer these things. Jericho's just too big. Can I challenge you, take one thing from this morning? I often think about this as a pastor. Thought about that this morning. Sitting at the breakfast table and looking over and thought about the church. And I said, what can I possibly say to these people to make any difference in their life? They will forget everything I say. Is there anything I could possibly say in a sermon that will actually bring and evoke a change or help somebody? I couldn't come up with anything. And then I remembered God could. Your hearts are like Jericho. I can't scale those heights, but God can. And as dumb as this sounds, Pastor, you've been walking around the same wall all for a long time now. 6 times you've gone around the same subject. 7 times you've done it, and then you've screamed at us. I can't fix it. Sounds like a dumb battle plan to me. Take this one thing with you. Pick one problem, one sin, one Jericho in your life. What is it? You know what it is. You don't need to come and ask me what it is. You can tell me what it is. Sitting right there, you know what it is. What is it? Now, put God's plan into effect. Identify it. Look at it. Know it's an enemy. Know you can't do it by yourself. Go armed. Take the Ark of God with you, with the things that are in the Ark of God. Go study what's in the Ark of God. And then we'll deal with the rest tonight. But you come back thinking about that one thing. What's the one thing I'm having trouble with? Is it bitterness? Is it anger? Is it foul mouth? foul mind, some problem you got. You go home. One thing. It's your homework. One thing. And more than likely, it's something you've been struggling with lately. If you don't want to do it, it's up to you. But you're on the side of the Jordan, my friend. And you're in a land of possession. And we're not going anywhere until you lick Jericho. Because you'll have to come back to it. It will stunt your growth. Let's get it taken care of. Father God, again, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful grace. Lord, I thank You for the folks here this morning. Thank You for their attention. Lord, again, what I do is worse than useless. It's ridiculous. Unless You be with. Unless You give strength. You've promised the victory. Your word will not go or come again void. Lord, You've promised. It'll accomplish that which You've given it. And Lord, the word has been given. Lord, accomplish that which You must. In Jesus' name, amen.